WZZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As Hurricane Melissa plows across Cuba, those in Jamaica are still looking at the destruction on that island. ABC's Ika Jachi's there.
Jamaican officials saying St. Elizabeth Parish is underwater. 75 patients had to be moved from a hospital after it lost power and sustained damage to the roof. The infrastructure is severely compromised, with more than a half a million Jamaicans without power. That's about 77% of the island.
The Federal Reserve is finishing up its October meeting today. At its conclusion, an announcement on lowering a key interest rate is expected. President Trump visiting South Korea, meeting with President Lee Jae-myung, and also working on a trade deal with South Korea. Tomorrow, he will sit down with China's Xi Jinping. Lawmakers in Washington are trying to come up with a workaround so members of the military can still be paid, and so federal food assistance is not cut off for millions of Americans amid the government shutdown. This is day 29. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers are circulating legislation aimed at limiting certain fee increases on the livestock industry. If passed into law, the proposed bill would limit the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's ability to implement a rule change determining fees for animal market and dealer licenses, as well as animal transport vehicle registrations. The agency has previously proposed significant fee increases, one of which would raise the cost for an animal market Class A license from $420 to over $7,400. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has announced it will resume abortion care following a pause earlier this month. The pause was the result of the new federal budget, which prevented family planning organizations from receiving Medicaid funding unless they stopped providing abortion services or gave up their tax-exempt or essential community provider status. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin announced it has given up its essential community provider status, making it eligible to receive those Medicaid funds without ceasing abortion services again. After weeks of consideration, the city of Shell Lake has officially decided what to do with a donated sculpture. The city had originally considered plans to place the sculpture of a woman on a paddleboard with her dog in Memorial Park, but a number of residents expressed concerns over whether the Veterans Park was the right place for it. The city council then decided to accept the sculpture, but tasked the plan commission with finding a better place for it. At its meeting this month, the city council approved placing the sculpture at the Shell Lake Arts Center. Douglas County has been awarded grant funding for environmental assessment work at a Foxborough property. According to a press release, the funding through the agency's Wisconsin Assessment Monies Program will be used to measure contamination at a former gas station in Foxborough. The program seeks to assess environmental conditions at eligible brownfield sites or sites where contamination issues limit their redevelopment options. The goal is to redevelop those properties for another purpose after completing the necessary cleanup work. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks knock off the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down by 12 at the half and came back to beat the Knicks at five serve form, 121-111. Giannis with 37 points. Ryan Rollins, a career high 25 from Milwaukee. But after the game, Doc Rivers said what he really liked was the defense by Rollins. Kyle Kuzma.
It's what we have to do. I mean, you know, our whole parts is what makes this team really good. I thought the second half, just the effort defensively by everyone, starting with Ryan, guarding Brunson for most of the night, got tons of deflections, got his hands on the ball, got a couple steals. Kuz guarding Karl Anthony Towns. That's as good as you can get.
So the Bucks host the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night, tip-off time at 7 p.m. Baseball, a big night for the Blue Jays. They jumped out to an early lead, beat the Dodgers in L.A. 6-2 to tie the World Series, up two games apiece. Game 5 of the Fall Classic tonight at Dodger Stadium with sports on Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 52 this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low dropping to around 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high right around 50. We do have a chance of scattered showers by Thursday night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV producer and writer and director of the film A Road at Night, John Roach. Then Door County Trolley's spooky storyteller, Carl Sarecki, joins me for some fun ghost stories.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. 7:06 now. Nice to have you here up north on a Wednesday morning. It is October 29th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2, and Ellie Bordeaux is standing by to tell us what you can find in the newsletters at Up North News by signing up at upnorthnewswi.com. But first, let's pass along some temperatures across the area. It is 37 here in the Chippewa Valley. Tomahawk is the cold spot at 25 right now. Hayward at 28 degrees. The warm spot is in both Milwaukee and Racine, where it's 48 right now. Wausau's at 41, La Crosse at 41 as well. Oshkosh, you're at 43 degrees. It's 39 in Wisconsin Rapids. It's 43 in Richland Center. Now, again, you can sign up for our newsletter by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com. You can get the weekday edition that Ellie puts together and, of course, our Sunday morning one as well. The Sunday morning newsletter at the moment has a question of the week that is really close to being 50-50, and that is asking people their view on whether a new nuclear power plant should be built in Wisconsin in the Kewaunee area, where there had been a plant for many years. And now there's talk of constructing a new nuclear power plant because it's carbon-free. It's a carbon-free way to generate electricity and does not contribute to a changing climate. Or it has some real downsides to it. What are your thoughts on it? Again, to be among the first to see and respond to the question of the week, get our Sunday morning newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's head over to visit with Ellie Bordeaux and find out what's happening in that weekday newsletter as well. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
I'm good. Although, again, once I get done talking to you about things in the newsletter, I usually end up working up an appetite.
That's fair.
It was pizza a couple of weeks back. Last week, it was burger spots, and the listeners and readers of the newsletter did not disappoint in their responses.
Yes, that is very true. We got a ton of responses. It's so fun to look through and hear about all the different burger places and everything. This week, we've got a bunch of different things that our readers love. Rachel's Roadside Bar and Grill. This one was interesting. They had Christmas curds, a variation of cheese curds with an added sweet flavor. And then they've got a Witten burger, a half-pound burger with sautéed mushrooms and onions, smoking barbecue sauce, and melted cheese curds. That sounds delicious.
I love the idea of the melted cheese curds on the burger. Although I will stipulate that I've seen some that look like it's like one giant cheese curd on a burger. We all know that's not an actual cheese curd. That's a right. Big old mound of cheese, and that's yeah. Fine. Just don't call things curds unless they are actual curds. That's my only rule involved in this. And yeah, I'd love to try one of those on a burger.
Right. Yeah. Don't mislabel it. That's just a patty of cheese, you know, but yeah. Another one is Lucy's Number 7 Bar or Ooh, Burger Bar.
They've this got, one is unique. Yes.
Yeah. They've got cheese curds and Wisconsin beers. They specialize in smash burgers, and they have different monthly specials, like an apple cranberry chutney and maple bacon aioli.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. That prompted me the other day to look up the menu for the livery in Eau Claire, because they have you know, a rather unique burger that they put some kind of a, it's not a pepper jam, but it's some kind of, and then there's like a bacon aioli thing, or I don't even know what. It's just, I love when people dress them up. It is possible to overdress your burger. Don't get me wrong, you know.
That is true. Yes. No, I do agree with that. You got to do it right.
it's kind of like the version of that for me is Chicago hot dogs. Chicago hot dog, by the time you look at it, they basically, you've put the entire salad bar on a hot dog and you're not actually tasting hot dog anymore. The same would go for a burger. I've never gotten into, say, the Whopper, for example. You know, to all beef, or the Big Mac, to all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Commercial jingles never die. and again, that's a bit much, but boy, there's nothing like getting it just right, you know?
Right. Totally. And I do agree. Sometimes simpler is better, you know, like sometimes you just got to stick to the basics and that's all you need, but it is fun to try the fun and new things that these places offer. So it's always fun to see.
Yeah. And it not everything is for everybody. There's some, you know, some of these burgers have like peanut butter on them and other weird stuff, but hey, to each their own. So do you have a new food category coming up at some point here? Or are you still letting the wheels spin on what to ask about next?
Yeah. So we're not talking about food necessarily next week. Next week, we want to hear, since Friday will be Halloween, we want to hear about the unique ways that people in Wisconsin spend their Halloween. So whether that's trick-or-treating or going to a bar and they have different specials and things like that, or a different festival, we want to hear how you spend your Halloween in Wisconsin and what's the best way to do it. So that's what we're looking for next week. In the future, we're definitely going to be looking for more food places, I'm sure, because that's always a good one. And it's kind of fun, you know, to get those. But we're looking at Halloween this week.
This week you've got, and you've got no shortage of decorations. And I've said before, people are treating this very much like Christmas now. The volume of decorations that people are putting up and that people are sending photos into you.
Right. Yeah. No, it's so fun to see. I love getting responses from all of our readers about different costumes they have, the different decorations. We had one earlier this week of I believe his name was Chris, where he carved like 10 plus pumpkins and they were incredible and so intricate, and so that's really fun to see. It definitely is like Christmas though. I love Halloween decorations. We used to, when I was younger, have a house that we that went all out for Halloween, so we would go and drive past it all the time, and so it's kind of fun to see, looking through these photos, of you could be that house that someone's taking a detour to go see, you know?
And there's the two categories. There's the spooky, scary, and there's the camp. And I, of course, am very squarely in the campy one, you know, but others, they go for as much, you know, blood as possible. They go for the surprise factor where something jumps out or screams at you. And, you know, that's fine, to each their own. But others, I just, you know, you just like to kind of go more on the campy. Hey, we're just having fun with this. Something the kids could actually enjoy and not wet their pants and their costumes as they run away in horror, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. We used to, when I was younger and I would go trick-or-treating, there was a house in my neighborhood that had like the candy bowl had a hand in it, and it would like come down and grab you like when you put your hand in, and I would never go to that house because it was too scary. It is fun to see, again, like, the different ways people decorate for Halloween. There are, I feel like, two ways to do it. That's very true. So
yeah. How about costume wise? I've been asking people throughout the week here. Do you have a favorite of one year, the best costume you ever had was?
I would say my good friend and I, I think my best costume, I was Napoleon Dynamite one year. And I had a wig and I had the Vote for Pedro shirt, and it was great.
Did you have like the boots too? And did you do the dance?
I didn't do the dance at that point, but I actually did the dance at a different point when I was in high school for an assembly. So I know the dance.
did you have somebody that played Uncle Rico, and like, did he have a football and he said he could throw the football over the mountain or anything like that?
Right. Honestly, no, I did not, but okay. I'm sure I could have found someone to do that for me.
Napoleon Dynamite was one of those movies where, you know, my girls were in their like early teens at the time. And we all have movies like this, where the first time you see a movie, you go, this is the dumbest thing ever. And then by the time you're done watching it the second time, and then the third, you're like, this thing is really growing on me. And
totally. Then
you can't stop. And you just look back and go, how did I ever make it to this many times? I've seen that movie at least a half a dozen times, and right. it just grows on you. But the first time, you can't imagine that you would ever watch it a second time, you know?
Totally. No, I completely agree. I like to say I either like really, really good movies or really, really bad movies. And that mm-hmm. can fall into either category, depending on who you are, you know?
Yep. Are you aware of anybody who's doing anything particularly special costume-wise this year yet amongst your friends and things? I know I've got a couple of friends who every year, I mean, that's like their focus. They go all out to find the costume of the year, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I can't think of anyone that's has anything super like specific. My parents one year were Homer and Marge Simpson. My mom had a big blue wig. That was really funny. Mm-hmm. This year when I was out helping my family with trick or treat, we saw someone dressed as the Barrel Man from the Brewers.
Oh,
that was really great. That was pretty cool. I would say those are like my top ones for sure.
Okay. All right. We'll be looking forward to that. And again, y'all can feel free to send us your own photos of costumes or decorations or other ideas that you'd like to share with people that they can, you know, use between now and Friday. And you can either put that in the comment sections here on YouTube and Facebook, or you can always email us as well. The email address for the radio show is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And then I can forward those over to Ellie as well as she puts together future editions of the newsletter. Now, we've also had a focus this week on breast cancer awareness in the newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So October is breast cancer awareness. And while there have been a lot of things happening leading up to this point, there's still a lot of ways that you can support survivors or people that have been diagnosed with breast cancer. And so we put together a story about different ways that you can help and different fundraisers that are going on and different events that are going on. So we've got some in Oshkosh, some in Milwaukee, we've got one in Plymouth, we've got one in Hartford. So in the newsletter, we've always got a different story kind of looking at those kinds of things. And there are other ways where you can support year long, you know, and so it's really great to see.
Okay, we can check those out. And then finally, of course, with the government shutdown, and it appears that supplemental nutrition assistance funding or SNAP funding will be running out, and that is going to put some severe pressure on families and food banks and more, where people are looking for whatever resources they can find to carry us forward as the shutdown rolls on.
Yeah, that's right. And this is going to affect about 700,000 Wisconsinites. And so it's really important to understand what's happening and also understand how you can help and how those in need can receive help. So again, we put together a different list of ways or places where help is available, where you can receive food assistance. Local food pantries are really great. They're in very high demand right now because of this. So if you're able, like volunteering your time, donating money, money is able to stretch really far with local food banks because they're able to buy in bulk. Or if you're able to donate food, non-perishables, just make sure you do some research on where you're donating, what they need, what would be best to donate. Because some places accept produce, some places don't. You want to be sure that you're donating what is really helpful. So
yeah, don't just grab, you know, the things in your cupboard that are, you know, past their expiration date, and try to actually think of this as doing some good for a family that is in need, and look at what those needs are. Because again, we don't have, we just talked yesterday, a story that ProPublica did earlier this month about all this emergency food that was going to be going to food pantries. The Trump administration just went and canceled it all over the summer, and we're just finding out all about that. So food pantries are really struggling, and really appreciate the donations, and you can learn much more about it in our newsletter articles. Sign up for that newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Ellie Bordeaux, thank you so much as always. Happy Halloween to you.
Yes, same to you. Have a good one.
All right, thank you. Still ahead, we're going to have our homeroom segment with State Representative Angelina Cruz, going to be talking about what she's seen on the Assembly Education Committee and what she is saying about some of the politics being played by recent controversy at the DPI when it comes to unprofessional conduct done by teachers. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 27th, Indiana Governor Mike Braun signed a proclamation calling the state's legislature into special session on November 3rd to consider congressional redistricting and a tax code issue. This follows weeks of lobbying by Trump administration officials worried that the GOP may lose control of the U.S. House. Indiana is already a very red state, with Democrats only holding 2 of 9 seats, District 1 in Northwest Indiana and District 7 in Indianapolis. Creating a GOP-leaning district will require cracking the existing districts and diluting liberal strongholds by adding Republican voters from adjoining areas. The Indiana Capital Chronicle reports that the state House has enough votes to pass a gerrymandering plan, but Senate leaders say they're still short of the votes needed. In Kansas, Democratic Governor Laura Kelly refused to call a special session for redistricting, but KCUR reports that Senate President Ty Masterson confirmed October 27th that he has the 27 signatures in the state Senate to activate a constitutional provision allowing the legislature to call the special session itself. But it's not clear if there are the 84 signatures needed from the House. The only competitive congressional district in the state, Congressional District 1, south of Kansas City, is held by Democrat Sharice Davids. We've linked to local reporting and the current congressional maps at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Turn your clocks back 1 hour and take the extra time to replace the batteries in your smoke detectors too. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
WBZH, Buzz of the North, Joel and Gray, like it or not, we're back.
Morning.
It's Wednesday morning. Morning, y'all. Morning. Gearing up for a big Halloween Friday night.
We're not doing this. You didn't tell me we're doing this. Nope. Joel has been threatening me for days. He's been saying we've got to do like a Dracula competition. You can't just drop that on me without warning. It's not happening right now.
Okay, maybe we'll save that for
Friday.
Okay, Halloween. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Halloween traditions, and Halloween is considered by many to be their favorite one because it's just fun. It's for the kids, and if adults want to dress ridiculously and go out and do that, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well, what it actually is it illegitimizes some of the complaints from other adults. You know, if I go out dressed like that on any given day, like, you're going to talk to me and I'm not going to like it because you got a point. On Halloween, leave me alone. I'm wearing it.
And I've often tried to figure out the type of personality that loves Halloween. And I don't think I got a consistent answer in my brain. I think it's more of what a person's emotional link is to Halloween, more so than their personality. Because I've seen people with very laid back, very personalities that they don't want to be around a lot of people, and they're just kind of very withdrawn, and all of a sudden Halloween comes around and there they are.
Yeah.
In a huge costume,
like a misfit party.
Look at me.
Totally. You know what? I immediately go to the widest point of the funnel when it comes to that kind of stuff, which is that there is every version of a person out there. And yeah, there's a lot of overlap with a lot of people, you know, sports fans. There's billions of sports fans. So it's like, it's almost kind of funny to me that so many people agree on any one thing, because the more people I meet, it's like, man, just when I thought I had any idea how people worked, you get that person who will elbow someone in the face over a ham sandwich, but will cry if they hurt a fly. You know, like, there's both. There's someone who's both. And I mean, it's probably someone who's about 4'8", for totally legitimate genetic reasons, and just is carrying a grudge. And no, I'm not saying short people are angry. I just mean, like, every time you think you understand what a person's going to be like, don't. It just... And so the Halloween enjoyers, yeah, every reason.
And I think the great thing about a Halloween costume is you just don't ask why. It doesn't have to come with when you see someone with a certain costume on, whatever it may be. I mean, it could be someone could walk up to you dressed as Donald Trump with a MAGA hat on, and you could just look at him and say, I don't want to know which side of it that you're on, but that's right. Pretty funny.
You know, there's enough ambiguity in that like, yeah, everybody can pat you on the back, and we can, yeah, if we can interpret your costume and everybody can enjoy it because of that, congratulations. That's actually art, and you just happen to be using it on Halloween.
Everybody has that costume when they were a kid that they remember for some reason. My wife and I often have this discussion around Halloween. So when I say Halloween to you, Mr. Greg Gunderson, as a youth, what comes to mind?
The soldier. The soldier was a backup costume that we had because for a period, my dad was a union machinist for most of my childhood and then ended up laid off from that gig. And so there was kind of a rough period of a couple years, but during that time he was going to school for real estate and things have been, if not way better, quite comfortable since then. So there was kind of this period where we had to make do. And we had this army surplus jacket in this tiny, tiny size. It was actual army surplus, but it fit me when I was 13. So I have no idea what soldier out there was wearing that. Actually, I know what the name was. I'm not going to mention it on the air. The patch was still there. The Sharpie didn't cover it. But you put a puffer vest on under that. You put your hunting pants on because they're camo anyway. You put a belt around your waist to make the puffer vest look like some muscles. And you don't even need a helmet. You're just obviously a little soldier.
That's nice.
We did that 3 years in a row because it's what we had.
Yeah, and I remember that as a youth too. I had three older brothers and we had enough to get by. We never wanted for food, but when it came to Halloween, my mom wasn't going down to the Kmart
right
and buying uniforms. She was like, what do you want to be? It's just like, pick something else, or we would find something that could be done with a sheet or maybe a piece of clothing from the back of mom's closet.
Yes.
Or whatever. Yep. Whatever it might be, right?
Exactly. We weren't going to go, and we live 20 miles from any given large store, too, so we weren't going to drive 20 miles, let alone spend the cash. I think we were kind of in a very similar spot, like economically speaking, but where we might have had one more tough year because of that whole layoff thing is like, yeah... We couldn't even if we wanted to back then. But even then, I still remember, I feel like we went out on a lot of Friday evenings. That was the family tradition.
It's kind of what's cool about Halloween is if you have a youngster, 8, 9, 10 years old, and they're just not into it, but they still want the candy. You know, they still want to do the trick-or-treating and candy. They can dress as something, you know, maybe they enjoy bow hunting. So you put camouflage on and a hat on, and there you go. I mean, the costume is negotiable to get you to the candy.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. It's a vessel. It's like the butter that your grandmother makes, or the bread that your grandmother makes. It's a vessel for the butter. It's like, yeah, the costume is just the process by which we receive candy, and I happen to carry it with me when I walk.
And I'm convinced that most memories we have of Halloween revolve around how many people, if mom or dad took a photo at that time. Because yeah. I remember my most prominent one is me dressed as an old granny with a shawl on, and I was like 9 years old, and I had the cane, and I was kind of hunched over because I have a photo of that.
Yep.
And I told my wife this the other day, for like 10, 11 years, I dressed up every year, and I can't think of one other costume other than that photo that I have.
I'll tell you what, I'm gonna touch on something that I think other people can probably relate to very briefly. If you ever find a picture of me in a Halloween costume set in front of pastel yellow painted drywall, I guarantee you that immediately before that picture was a nuclear eye roll. I guarantee it. Come take a picture, Mom.
Yeah.
Come stand by the wall. It's yellow. This wall is an ugly color. It's a color we got. Okay.
I just remember it all led to candy, and everything was kind of like a blur up to the point where I got to knock on the door, and they had a free mini Snicker for me. That was about it.
I've got a question for you. We're going to see where you fall on the great scale when we come back later.
Okay.
Got a question. I'll hold it for now.
Okay. More Halloween chatter, and you can share with your friends and family, maybe your spouse, your Halloween memories. It's a good discussion to have. For most people, they're fond. They're fond memories. And we've got more Halloween chatter a little bit later on this hour. Gray and myself, Pat Kreitlow, coming back in just a moment here on WBZH. It's 720.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
The 98th National FFA Convention gets underway officially today in Indianapolis. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And one busy Wisconsinite, Mary Schreiber from East Troy. She's currently seated as the Central Region National FFA Vice President. She's had an opportunity to travel more than 90,000 miles serving FFA members. Some FFA members that are facing unique challenges. That story next.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
One of the busy Wisconsin FFA members at the National Convention in Indianapolis is Mary Schreiber. She's currently seated as the Central Region Vice President on the National FFA Officer Team. She's traveled more than 90,000 miles across the United States, meeting chapter members in a lot of different situations. She tells the story of going to West Virginia, where she met a young woman named Katie, very enthusiastic about the FFA and what she was doing. What Mary found out is that Katie was actually living with her grandparents after her father passed away from an addiction problem, and her mother was currently battling the same. Mary says it's those kinds of stories from chapter members like Katie that really inspire her about the deeper meaning of FFA.
The family that this organization provides to students, not just in the sense of building your character and that premier leadership, personal growth, and career success, but also the community that you build, the people in your chapter, the people in your state association, and even here at National Convention, when you see that sea of blue jackets, you're a part of something so much bigger. You're a part of that family. I was really grateful that I got to be a small part of her family, and I get to contribute to that. So there are some really challenging things that students across the country are going through, but FFA is there for them to give them that bright spot and that future and that community to look forward to.
Mary Schreiber from East Troy, Wisconsin, currently the Central Region Vice President at the National FFA Convention.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
You can follow the details from the National FFA Convention online at ffa.org. I'm Pam Yonke.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 52 this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low dropping to around 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high right around 50. We do have a chance of scattered showers by Thursday night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 28.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matinee on Air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Politics can be complicated from Washington to Madison. No better way to sort it out with three Wisconsin guys. Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson join me next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. It's time for our homeroom segment here where we talk about public education in Wisconsin and the ongoing need to strengthen it and oftentimes defend it as well. And this time around, we're talking to a member of the Assembly Education Committee, State Representative Angelina Cruz from the Racine area joins us now. Representative Cruz, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for being with us today. We've got a few different things to cover here. We will be getting into voucher school transparency, for example, in just a bit here. But there's also something to be said for one of the more recent controversies and the way that it's being handled with accusations of teacher misconduct in our classrooms and how it's being handled by the Department of Public Instruction. And on social media, you had some very strong words to say for people who are maybe right to be concerned about the case, but the way that they're handling it sure seems to be more political than need be. Do you feel like I'm describing that well?
I think you're describing it perfectly. I am very frustrated with the way in which the topic was handled. I sit on the GOAT committee, which is the Government Operations Accountability and Transparency Committee. And we held a hearing last Thursday in response to a CapTimes investigation that found more than 200 Wisconsin teachers accused of sexual misconduct kept their licenses. And so I do want to underscore the seriousness of the issue. As a veteran public school teacher, I prepared for the hearing. I came ready to ask some questions to help both law enforcement. It was my understanding that law enforcement and the Department of Public Instruction representatives were going to appear to testify on the topic. So I prepared with questions about how best we in the legislature could help support their work in more effectively addressing this issue. And that, unfortunately, is not what seemed to be the goal of my Republican colleagues in that hearing.
They simply wanted to, I mean, the way that you put it is we got 3 hours of partisan grandstanding, no solutions, no commitments, just noise. One Republican member even waved around an inappropriate picture talking about curriculum and you described it as tone deaf, essentially, some of the conduct that you witnessed in this committee hearing.
It absolutely was tone deaf. It was about 3 hours of, as you stated or quoted from my post, political grandstanding. I had to wait nearly 2 hours before the chair of the committee recognized me to ask my questions, at which point I used that opportunity to sort of try to help circle things back to the conversation, rein in what I thought I had heard from both law enforcement and the Department of Public Instruction testimony in terms of what we could do to help. And they clearly identified we need clear statutory language around this issue. We need proper staffing and training for people that work in the public school system from DPI all the way down to school districts. We need better technology to upgrade DPI systems in order to track these cases and to report these cases. And we need consistent licensure standards for public school teachers are required to be licensed to teach in the classroom. Private school teachers are not. So we have a whole universe of teachers in the state of Wisconsin who are not licensed teachers, and they serve in the private school voucher sector. And so rather than sort of drill down on what I had heard were proposed solutions, it was what I would describe as sort of bad performance art from my Republican colleagues.
It certainly did seem that way. And again, unnecessarily so, when you could be looking at potential solutions. But you've already outlined some of the areas where you could seek to create an environment where these kinds of things can't happen in the future. But I noticed that a few of those things you mentioned would require a commitment of resources. And that is not something that your Republican colleagues are rushing to provide to our public schools.
That's correct. I think that's part of what they are trying to do. I mean, look, I can't speak to their personal intentions, right? But it seems to me we have the opportunity to sit down with people who are engaged in the work day to day, who are coming to us asking for help. We have an opportunity to create this forum in which we're listening to what they think we can do as legislators to help them more effectively do their work. And rather than hearing those solutions, they consistently pivot away from the fact that this Republican-controlled legislature has consistently underfunded or starved out public schools for the better part of over two decades. And that, I think, is really the crux of the conversation and what we need to address in the state legislature. We have a constitutional obligation to fully fund public schools, and we are not doing that.
No, it's a lot easier to simply take that problem and use it as a club to, you know, bash public schools and to say, well, they're hopelessly broken, and maybe that's why more tax dollars need to go to a voucher school system. But as you've said once, but we're going to say it again, these private schools are not any more accountable, not any more transparent. In fact, you could argue less so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not even an argument. It's just stating facts, right? If we if we line up public schools and all the things that we are, all the ways in which we are to responsibly report to our taxpayers, property taxpayers, and the people of Wisconsin, the open transparency, the licensure standards for teachers, the ways in which we are responsible stewards of tax dollars, and juxtapose that with the voucher system, in which it's a completely unaccountable, not transparent system. It's essentially a shell game in terms of we're paying for two school systems as property taxpayers, and one is transparent and one is not.
That's right. We're talking to State Representative Angelina Cruz of Racine, who's on the Assembly Education Committee. Tony puts up on YouTube, I like this conversation, constructive and focused on how to fix DPI, not just complaining about State Superintendent Jill Underley. Tony, I don't mean to disappoint you, but I will state again for the record that I have said Dr. Underley should have had a good back and forth with the reporter or reporters investigating this, and or talk to a legislative committee. I personally think that if she had shown up to the legislative committee, what you thought was a circus last week, I think would have been even more so, knowing the reckless behavior that some of these lawmakers, take part in. I would have much rather seen her be up front with the Cap Times, and there's still her ability to do that. I think we should in the future. So I don't want to leave the topic without, saying that about Dr. Underley. I don't know how you thought she could have or should have handled herself, but again, we can talk about how she did things all day long, but we've got to eventually fix the system and make things safe for the kids.
Absolutely. I agree. She should have been at the hearing. Absolutely. I do think that there's still an opportunity for her to step forward and sort of clear the air on some of the issues that have been surfaced. And to engage with the legislature in terms of how to mindfully address these issues moving forward. But I do also want to point out the fact that all of these committees are controlled by, again, my Republican colleagues. And so I don't think many people know that when our committee meetings are scheduled, it is on a very short timeline. And so I don't know the particulars of trying to schedule this committee meeting and coordinating that with Dr. Underly and the DPI. What I can speak to is my personal experience as somebody who sits on these committees. I don't know when these committee hearings are happening until usually, typically, days before they happen. So I have two committee meetings scheduled to happen tomorrow, Thursday, October 30th, that I were not confirmed with my office until yesterday or the day before. So we're working on a really short timeline, and this is just sort of another game they play in terms of, from my perspective, avoiding actually addressing issues, very serious issues that need to be addressed.
Oh, without a doubt. And I will simply say, as a former legislator, having watched when things worked under a better system, that this is recklessly unprofessional, the way that they schedule meetings on short notice and the way that they make members of the minority party wait, sometimes, like you said, 2 hours before speaking. That simply never happened before this bunch took over. And it is absolutely without shame the way that they run these kinds of operations. I would not be surprised in the least if they intentionally scheduled this date knowing already that Dr. Underly was going to be out of town. I can't prove that. I'm saying their past behavior indicates I would not be surprised if that was the case. But this is, again, a committee that could be looking into so many other things, not the least of which is one that we've touched on, the unaccountability in the voucher program, which is, you know, hurtling at high speed toward costing taxpayers $1 billion a year. And now we're looking at the potential of those enrollment caps coming off the voucher school program. And if you can't cap enrollment, Representative Cruz, how bad could it get for taxpayers?
You know, my concern as a longtime education advocate, for just by way of background for people that don't know, I'm a public school teacher. I started teaching in 2003. I am the president of my local teachers union. I was elected in 2015. And so I have a degree in educational policy. This is a topic that I have unique expertise in. And so my concern is that we will, in fact, as a state legislature, blow a complete hole into our state budget should the caps come off of vouchers. We put $0, just to be clear, this biennium into general aid for public schools. So for the next 2 years, $0 go into public schools in general aid. Meanwhile, we have voucher schools receiving to the tune of $1.8 billion just in this biennium for the voucher program. And the, as you said, the caps are scheduled to come off in 2026. So the state legislature seems, the Republican legislature seems to have a deep commitment to investing in this completely unaccountable system while they're starving out our public school system. And so it's just a huge disservice, not just to the children of Wisconsin, but also to the property taxpayers of Wisconsin, to our local communities.
And that's what it makes it just that much more egregious, that they may be playing politics with a very genuine controversy simply to advance a political agenda. State Representative Angelina Cruz from Racine is on the Education Committee, as well as the GOAT Committee that we'll talk about again down the road. Representative Cruz, thank you very much for your time and for your service. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too, Pat. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Coming up in our next hour, we will be talking to Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast and find out what he's talking about that you can get from civicmedia.us to sign up for the podcast there. And Melissa Baldoff will have our climate check as well, talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Melissa barreling through Jamaica and crossing over into Cuba. And yet the parent agency of the National Weather Service is relying on volunteers for observations and data collection. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation, or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business, while Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But WalletHub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s, and CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WBZH, Wednesday morning, Joel and Gray back in here talking about whatever we want to talk about. Halloween.
Halloween is the theme. Yeah. And when last we spoke, Joel, I mentioned to you, I've got the litmus test. I've got the great coin flip of Halloween, the Hallows Eve conundrum that every person must face. And usually they make this decision without realizing that it matters. But it matters. Make no mistake. The question, Joel, yay or nay, candy corn?
I like candy corn, and I'm not sure why. I know we always had it around a lot as a kid. We didn't have a lot of candy in the house, and it was sugar. I mean, it was like a glorified version of a sugar baby is what it was. So, yeah, I mean, I'm yes to candy corn.
No. 39 and a half foot pole, the Grinch song comes to my life. Absolutely not. And I think, honestly, this might... I won't say it's because we're of different ages, but because of a different aspect of the same fact, which is that I just came around later. And I don't mean like younger people like different things than older people. I mean, the candy of my era had gotten a bit of a change by the time I was the age where that you would have been when you were trick-or-treating. You know, by the time I was 8 or 10, it's the 2000s. I turned six in the year 2000. So all of my trick-or-treating has been done on this side of Y2K, which means the big candy bar, that house on the street that did the big candy bar, that's the starting point now. We've got real players here. People are using their disposable income on me, or I ain't going.
That wasn't, see, the full candy bar didn't, it existed, but it was never a part of it. I don't ever remember going to a house and getting that king of candy by just knocking on a door or ringing a doorbell.
We had a special thing going for us, though, which is that we lived in the middle of nowhere. And so people loved that they had trick-or-treaters. Actually, there was kind of a five-year period before we did it. And I think since there's only been one or two just because we were way out there. But my mom and dad were very gregarious people back then and have since gotten older. Things happen, but everybody was waiting for us. And I didn't realize how cool that was because we were the first trick-or-treaters in like a decade.
Right. And I don't remember candy corn ever being like a Halloween treat. I remember more of that just like at a dish at grandma's house or something like that.
Oh, no.
So let me provide you. I have a list of Halloween candy that my wife and I came up with that we think are not good Halloween. If you're 8 or 9 years old, you're ringing the doorbell.
You have a list? It's like you were ready for me.
And it goes in. Okay. It goes into your bag.
All right.
So as a kid, you tell me yes or no when you empty out the bag at home and you look at this. Okay. Popcorn ball.
It depends how many. If I have one, I love it. But the second one is,
it's true.
Second popcorn ball.
All right. The prepackaged popcorn ball, I'm all right with it.
Yeah, I generally okay, but better if it's a candy corn ball or a kettle corn ball. Excuse me, kettle corn ball is the winner.
A hard candy mint for a kid.
Oh no, see,
can't do mints with kids, right?
I become the picky candy person at that point. Like,
I think kids' taste buds are too prominent to give them a mint. I think it just burns their mouth.
I know you care for me when you give me that mint, but it's not the kind of care I want. I want the kind of care for me where you put an extra stick of butter in whatever you cook for me.
Sweet tarts.
Yes. Yep. Basic. Ooh. Yes. That is fundamental. Those are the concrete that makes up the foundations of good candy.
All right. Let's see here. My next one, a basic jawbreaker.
No, I've had some bad experiences. I broke a tooth on one once because I broke rule number one and it broke me back.
I remember the Willy Wonka box of jawbreakers. They were small. And my best friend and I would have a contest. First hour at school, we would each put one of those in our mouth and we would see how long we could make it last by isolating it in a non-saliva area of our mouth. And my friend always won. We would get to lunch 3 hours later and he would stick out his tongue and he would show it to me.
The only other place in your life that could be useful, Joel, is prison. Let's move on.
A rock. Oh, and that's Charlie Brown's list.
Wait, are we doing the pet rock thing again?
Pennies. Remember? I don't know. See, I'm old enough to remember that when people ran out of candy, they would throw a few pennies in your bag.
Pennies?
Nowadays, of course, it better be a quarter or 50 cents, and even that.
No, nothing. Nothing costs a dollar anymore.
So the question is now, when you run out of candy, do you shut the light off or do you start looking for stuff?
Well, parents went for little toys and stuff. We got non-candy items in the stockings pretty frequently, but only things that would fit in a stocking. And sometimes, actually, the stocking was where we usually got our new toothbrush. Our parents would put all the candy in, is like, and here's your toothbrush.
And
it's perfect. It makes sense. It's a good rotation. It's balanced.
Pixie sticks.
Yeah.
The chalky flavored dust inside of it. Oh.
If I must.
the old cardboard pixie sticks that we used to, that was popular when I was younger.
My generation snorted them. Yeah. I tell you what, if you've never snorted a pixie stick before, I have to tell you that you shouldn't. Don't do it. But I'll also tell you that you'll never do it a second time. Guarantee it.
This is a divisive candy in my house. I thought my wife and I may, after a few years of marriage, have to go our own separate ways when I told her that I like circus peanuts.
Oh.
And my wife was like gross and grody at the same time.
I agree with both of you because like I'll eat a circus peanut or two, but by peanut number four, it's like, okay, I'm on Shayna's side now. Like no more.
I mean, I'm that way too. I don't buy the whole bag.
No.
But I'll eat one of yours.
Every food has a wall, and with circus peanuts, it happens fast.
Is it appropriate to put a box of raisins in a kid's a bag when they trick or treat?
Are they chocolate covered?
No.
Don't do it more than once.
Just say no.
Don't do it more than one. No repeat offenses on that one. You get one.
What about dried fruit?
You just asked me that.
Okay, I did. Smarties.
That's sweet tarts, isn't it?
Smarties basically are sweet tarts. You're right.
They were the same in my era.
How about a little bag of pretzels? Is that okay?
Totally. Yes, and cheese crackers with the peanut butter in between. Oh. Underrated. I didn't think I liked them when people gave them to me back on Halloween, but I learned.
Hot tamales.
What? No, I just don't like hot.
Just the little red tamale things that they used to have?
Actually, I should try them again because I grew up, my mom didn't even use black pepper, let alone cayenne or anything real, so I didn't like spice, but I should try again and update the audience.
How about a can of tuna?
Where have you been, Joel?
A potato. My wife said that they used to do a potato they would put in there. We'll leave that for another time. We'll talk more Halloween tomorrow. I think we're going to talk. I got some more good Halloween subjects.
Happy Potato Day.
All right. And a happy Wednesday to you, everybody. Pat Kreitlow back in to talk more things. Probably not Halloween on the Buzz of the North. Coming right up here. It is 7:59.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump is in South Korea meeting with the prime minister at the start of the APEC summit. ABC's Rachel Scott is traveling with him.
Here in South Korea, this is the last stop on the president's tour across Asia. 21 world leaders are gathering here for the APEC summit, but much of that overshadowed by the president's meeting with Chinese President Xi tomorrow. And this morning, he's optimistic a trade war can be averted. And the president, while here in Asia, has been trying to finalize the details of trade deals. The president wants South Korea to invest $350 billion in the United States as part of a trade deal reached back in July, but still no firm details from either side on whether that will happen.
Hurricane Melissa, now over Cuba, is a Category 2 storm with maximum sustained winds of 150.